The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. It is tragic and heartbreaking on the island of Maui, where fast-moving wildfires have killed at least 93 people.
Really, right now, it's been so hard, very hard. Never in my life would I have imagined that we would have something like this.
Reporter Chelsea Davis with KGMB-TV is surveying neighborhoods in the devastated town of Lahaina.
I went down to Pua'umana for the first time, and there's practically nothing left. We saw X's on cars and buildings, and FEMA tells us that indicates local agencies have already checked those homes and vehicles for survivors or remains.
Hawaii Senator Mazie Hirono tells CNN an investigation is looking into why some emergency sirens didn't go off.
I'm not going to make any excuses for this tragedy, but the Attorney General has launched a review of what happened with those sirens and some of the other actions that were taken.
At least four people have been killed and three others injured when a house exploded yesterday in Plum, Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh. CBS's Matt Piper fills us in.
The explosion destroyed three structures and damaged at least a dozen others. George Emanuel saw the aftermath.
It was scary. It was very scary. It was like hell on earth over there. I was eating a sandwich and heard a very loud explosion.
One person is missing. Republican presidential candidates, including former President Trump, participated in a tradition as American as food on a stick, the Iowa State Fair.
It's a beautiful day in Iowa.
The crush of the cheering crowd seemingly undiminished by three criminal indictments now facing the former president.
Will you comply with the protective order?
They should really try and get this country back together. What they've done to this country by weaponization.
CBS's Christina Ruffini with that report. Following the collapse of a plea deal, Attorney General Merrick Garland has appointed a special counsel to investigate the business dealings of Hunter Biden. New York Congressman Dan Goldman tells CNN it's now time for Congress to butt out.
Hunter Biden will be treated by the Department of Justice as he should be. But Congress needs to stop investigating a private citizen and stop this fishing expedition to try to link President Biden to Hunter Biden's conduct.
Nestle is recalling some Toll House chocolate chip cookie dough break and bake bars.
The FDA says the recall affects the 16.5-ounce version of the product. It says they could contain wood fragments. The recall is isolated to two batches of the bars made on April 24th and 25th of this year. The product was distributed to retailers in the U.S. No illness or injuries have been reported.
CBS's Christopher Cruz. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Young adults are the driving force behind the increasing digitization of healthcare. More from Mike Mohn.
Industry researchers say, like a lot of other age groups, Gen Z embraces telemedicine. They also value apps that can make it easier to schedule appointments, manage conditions, and look up data. Rochelle Andre with the Wisconsin Primary Healthcare Association says, more importantly, this generation wants to feel empowered when receiving care.
I don't think a Gen Z individual is really likely to just be directed to what to do with their healthcare. They need that buy-in and option so that they can have a voice in the process.
And she says Gen Z deserves praise for normalizing conversations regarding behavioral health. Dr. Donald Tavakoli with United Healthcare says Gen Z is just starting to enter the workforce because they report higher rates of depression, eating disorders, and even suicidal behaviors. He says it's important they understand terms like deductibles, coinsurance, and out-of-pocket when signing up for plans.
They have significant rates of mental illness, so we think it's really important that they first have their health insurance lingo down, really understanding the common terms of how to navigate health insurance.
Health equity is another priority for Gen Z. Andre says her organization is trying to reduce access barriers for underserved populations.
They may not have a parent or a family member or a guardian who can take them to a clinic after work. Maybe that parent or guardian is working multiple jobs.
Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and...
This is a great song. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman. I would say Joel Clayfish is here, our wonderful host, but he is missing. He is MIA. Not necessarily MIA, but he is doing something extravagant. I don't really know what he's doing. He's Joel Clayfish. He does everything all the time. Ugh, so jealous. Maybe he's at the state fair.
That could be.
He could be. That wonderful voice you hear, the hello, that is Mike Kretschmer.
Yep.
Did I say it correctly this time? Kretschmer.
Yeah.
It's one of those really long names. Yep. I'm like, I feel like I'm missing a vowel. Can I buy a vowel? I don't really know. Speaking of the state fair, that is going on now, and I finally get to attend tomorrow. And you know what I'm really looking forward to? Which every Wisconsinite says?
What?
Cream puffs.
Cream puffs.
Cream puffs.
Cream puffs are good.
I feel like I'm going to gain 20 pounds just... eating a cream puff, though.
Yeah, and the corn, too.
I always get that.
I think it's the Lions Club does the corn there.
Oh, I don't know, but they do a fantastic job, don't they?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun walking around, seeing the animals, eating a lot of food, drinking a couple beers.
Yep, absolutely. you're listening to Raised in Wisco. It is Thursday. That means we are at 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Come down and say hello. Of course, we have Bandit and our Anastasia's back.
I'm back. Hello.
Yay, hello. Give us a call at 844-967-2789. And here we go. Are you ready, Mike?
Sure.
I feel like this is how it always begins. I have 50 things to talk about. You know how many we cover?
Three, four?
Maybe three. I don't know where my mind goes, but it's just like, you just talk about whatever, right?
Whatever.
And if you're watching, I may have got it. If you're watching us on Facebook, I don't have it. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, my camera is doing something weird and does not want to focus on my face. I feel very offended by that.
I don't love that. Sorry.
Hello. Hello. So if you see, you can see my shoulders. I guess I have very nice shoulders. Wearing a tank top because it's beautiful outside.
It is gorgeous.
But we have Mike and Anastasia, so that's all that really matters, I guess. All right.
What do you want to start with?
I want to start with the state fair. That's okay. Where I'm ready for the state fair. I'm ready for the cream puffs. I'm ready for the corn. My favorite place to go is the Knuckleheads. I don't know. Do you call them booths?
Yeah.
Bar area. Yeah. I don't know if you call them a booth, but Knuckleheads expanded.
Oh, really?
They did. And it looks from Facebook, I have noticed. It looks absolutely fantastic. And I've only heard good things about it.
Yeah, that guy got him going down there. Like, he's known for that. And people are like, all year going out to Eagle, right?
Eagle. He has. They have Knuckleheads and Rustics.
Yeah, I was in there not too long ago.
Were you
talking to him a little bit? I'm in the meat business, so.
Oh well, yeah, because that obviously put two and two together. Right. I'm in the meat business. Let me go talk to you.
So yeah, but he's telling me all about the state fair, and he does really well down there.
That's good.
I'm pretty busy this weekend, but I might try to sneak down there for a little bit.
I feel ashamed. I should know this. Anastasia? Do you know when the state fair ends? Or
I believe it ends on the 13th of this year.
Oh, look at that. Online it says the 3rd to the 13th. Oh, sweet. So I'm going just in time.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm not a Summerfest person. I am a state fair person.
I would agree with that 100%.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Well.
Because all the immature drunks that just,
Granted, this is a crowded area, but still State Fair is like a different kind of crowded. It's like a farmer's crowded instead of like a drunk crowded.
Correct.
I don't know. I don't know if that makes
the
any
younger
sense.
Vibe. I mean, at Summerfest, I have not been down to Summerfest since they kind of did that new, you know, 3-4 day ordeal on the weekends versus the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
My summers are so busy. That's a back burner for me.
It is, isn't it? I did go to Summerfest. Do you want to know when? When I was working it, when Summerfest was not even going on.
Oh, really?
The company I worked for, Rams, we did like the whole playground. We did the demolition for like a gazebo thing. We put up, or we didn't put it up, but we do dirt work. So we took out everything and helped build the new retaining walls and all this kind of stuff. So I was there, but for the good part, because I was getting paid to be there.
Yeah. I almost went 2 weekends ago for, obviously, with the last name of Kretschmer for German Fest. My mom and dad went down to my sister and they ate a bunch of food, but I was actually camping. So I do a lot of camping with the family
when
I'm not hunting, fishing.
Is your family into hunting and fishing?
Actually, my daughter just turned 8. She shot a turkey this spring. So at 7
Did
years
she?
Old, yep. About 22, 23 yards with a crossbow.
With a crossbow?
Yep.
Look at her go. Very proud of her.
Yeah, she, I thought you'd be backing out, but she let her hammer.
Yeah. So what was the whole setup like? First, main important question. Did you bring it up or did she bring it up? Because I don't have kids. So I don't really know this situation part of it. So, you know, your look about it.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm a pusher. So my older son, who's 15, Brady, he shot one at 9. Actually, it is on my online. So little background.
Yeah.
I grew up hunting, fishing since I've been a kid, and I pretty much worked in the outdoor industry at Cabela's for like 15 years. I've known Joel for a very long time, and when
so that's why he's not here.
Yeah, pushing me to come on, and he doesn't show up. No, I'm sure he's busy.
He's like, I've seen this person. I see Mike all the time.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I've known him for a long time, and I did a lot of waterfowl, a lot of musky fishing. I did a little bit of guiding, and I had kids. And then, you know, married and kids, that puts a back burner to all that. So now I'm getting into it again because now my children are actually showing interest in it.
Ooh.
And Brady shot a turkey at 9 years old. We filmed it I was probably crying more than he was from the shot.
Oh,
I was super emotional.
Aww.
My cameraman at the time was like,
men get emotional? That's a thing?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Some do.
Weird. I didn't think that was actually possible.
Yeah. So, Ryan.
Sorry, that was a dig for the men. I know. Sorry.
Ryan put the camera down and he goes, I don't think I've ever had such a raw coverage or recording of somebody being that excited. And I was like, I was really into it. And then it kind of turned him off because I let him shoot a 12 gauge at 9 years old.
Oh.
Smoked the turkey, but after that, he kind of backed off a little bit. But he's been into it now. We actually do a youth hunt for waterfowl in the Horicon Marsh that I'm a part of. I help that. That is run through the state. So this first year, he's gone twice now. And this year, he finally shot a duck. He ended up shooting 2 or 3. And when he shot that duck, his eyes lit up.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I've done pretty much everything. I ran a camp in Canada, so I have a fishing background, bear hunting background.
Oh, wow.
If any of you guys see Joel, ask him about a bear hunting story down the road up in Canada.
I want to ask.
Yeah, you can ask
him. He told me this story beforehand, and I really want to ask.
No, I'll let Joel explain it.
Joel can explain it to us.
That's a good one. You live and you learn, put it that way.
Don't we all, though?
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
All a learning experience.
It
all is a learning experience.
I'm just about, I am 40, not just about 40, I just turned 40. I've been doing it for well over 25 years.
Well, geez,
and I'm still learning every day. And it's not about me anymore. It's
that's good.
Like now I love to kill big animals, but I'd rather take somebody new. I'd rather take my kids.
Oh, yes.
You know, and it's stuff like that. So, like, I'm still evolving as a human being and getting older as far as the outdoor world.
Mm-hmm.
And something.
And the world is ever revolving too.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be something new. Like, to me, when the Tacticam, I don't know when the Tacticam came out, but in my world, when it came out, I was just astonished, like, how bad of a shot I was until I hooked that up on my barrel and saw that I'm shooting way behind. Like, I'm aiming at the duck instead of in front of the duck.
Yeah.
Like, it's a blessing in disguise, but it's always going to change. There's going to be something new and amazing in about, 2 weeks, 3 weeks probably?
We're not
3 weeks.
Far off,
22 days.
September 1st.
Okay, but get back to your daughter.
Yeah, turkey. Yeah, I'm always all over the board. I'm excited to tell stories. And So we shot that turkey this spring with the crossbow. We were in a ground blind, which if you are out there and you want to get into spring turkey hunting, there's some people that shun on the whole ground blind deal and you're not sitting on the ground.
Really?
Yeah. It's
I haven't experienced
it. So there's a big there's a big difference in running and gunning and sitting in a ground blind. But there's also, when you're in a ground blind, you get to sit next to somebody, two people, sometimes three. I have my blind is big enough I can have three people. Oh, you're right over there.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We're drinking adult beverages. I got this beer because there's a dog's face on it.
It's actually really good.
And it just I don't know. That just tickled.
So okay, I had these turkeys coming in, and they actually were about 20 yards, but off to our right. And I couldn't set up on them. There's trees in the ways. They went all the way around us. They came in. I thought it was an evening hunt. So, which people that, you know, in the outdoor world and turkey world are like, it's all about the morning. You can kill plenty of turkeys in the afternoon and evening.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And they actually came back, but not quite in range. And I had her set up for like 15 yards. She's shooting the crossbow. Was very scared at first because, you know, at 7 years old, you don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
She started shooting it, and she never wanted to quit. And I'm like trying to crank this thing all the time. I'm like, okay.
Oh, I'm so next proud year. Of her. I don't know her, and I'm so proud of her.
She was shooting the, you know, into the target, and I had it at 10, 12 yards. So this was a poke for her, and I was a little concerned. But she, they came. We had a group of trees in front of us, but there was a little opening, and I'm like, he's standing right there. I'm like,
of course.
So I'm filming the whole thing with my phone. Phones are almost as good, if not better, than regular cameras nowadays.
Right? I have a whole story for that one, too.
So I have them coming down, strutting. They got hung up. They go around us. They're out front. I'm like throwing the phone down. Now my heart's racing like out of my chest because I'm probably more excited. She's cool as a cucumber. And I'm like, you ready? You want to do this? You want to try this? She's like, yeah. So now I'm holding the base, trying to hold her steady, making sure I'm like, aim a little higher because it's farther. Thump, this turkey she smokes it and standing there. And I'm like, I don't know if she hit it great, good. Because it's probably 25 yards. And I'm realized to myself, I'm like, I gotta go chase this thing. Like I'm on a small piece of property where it's gonna go, and I want to chase it down. I fly the blind open, I run out there. Well, there's three toms together. Well, the other two don't leave because he's still standing there.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I get up to him and they take off running. So I'm running through the woods chasing this thing.
Which is an arrow sticking out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I know a story of somebody that I know that actually got injured by an arrow. So that was kind of playing in the back of my mind trying to tackle a turkey. I think she kind of hit him low and then up through the breastbone. And it was not a great shot, but I ended up running this thing down, and it was she's a type 1 diabetic. So now she's like 60 yards from me, and I'm like yelling to her to like bring the crossbow. And she's, I don't even know if she's 55 pounds. She's carrying this big crossbow, runs it over. We don't have the crank. Now she's running back to get the crank. She runs it back, and then she ran it back to me, and we ended up, I had her shoot it again, and we're done.
Oh.
So she was so excited. But yeah, so I was real excited with that turkey hunting. And
I mean, that's the part I like, either for one, bringing somebody new out there, especially your daughter, right. And two, with the show, when we get to start talking about hunting right away, it makes me so happy.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM, WUK, the Shaw 101 FM. Give us a call, 844-967-2789.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. it came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
I've already told you once, I'll tell you again, I'm living proof. Step outside the box, defy everybody, and chase your dreams. This is for everybody who says no.
Oh, I love that intro. I feel like that intro needs to be our intro for the show. Because everybody is chasing the dreams. That's what everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to get out there and hunt for a living. Take videos for it. Like, hunting videos for a living. Just do it. Be out there and get paid.
Right.
Like, granted, some people get paid, like, social media, but it's only, like, $2 an hour for 5 hours. So it's pretty much nothing at all.
Very, very minuscule amount of people make a really good go at making money in the outdoor industry in general.
It takes so much work. I know we talked about it last week, but you work your 9 to 5. I'm doing quotes, 9 to 5, whatever you want to do. For me, it's 6 to 5, maybe 6 to whatever. But if I'm going to leave this cushiony job, 50, 60 hours a week, to work 24/7. Yes, you can get out there and do what you want to do for a living, but that's going to, that's all you're going to do forever, which, yes, don't get me wrong, it would be wonderful, but you're always on the clock.
Right.
And I need to, like, step away. I need to be able to go in the woods by myself. I need to be able to go in the blinds by myself. I need to do everything by myself. I mean, with Bandit, of course, and just get away.
He's a good dog.
Isn't he, though?
He's so soft.
He is here every single day, every single day, every single Thursday.
Yeah.
My favorite. He's our main listener. He is our star.
He listens.
And he's I love what you said. He's so soft, because I am one of those people that rarely feeds them human food, and I feel like that has a huge factor to the coat and everything.
Yeah,
because if I'm going to give him steaks and burgers and fries all the time, like, that stuff makes me feel gross. Of course, it's going to make him feel gross.
You know what's funny?
What?
I have a customer come into my meat shop.
Yeah.
Almost every other week, buys 60 to 80 ribeye, or not? Excuse me, ribeyes, New York strips for his dogs.
What?
Because I don't like my kids. I love my dogs. So I was like, dang.
I feel like that's how it would be too.
Dropping,
if I had,
like,
kids.
Anywhere from $11 to $16 a pound on steaks for your dog.
Well, okay. The raw food diet for dogs, I don't do it because I'm not that rich yet.
Yeah, right.
But I hear great things about it.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a thing.
I mean, he says his dogs are healthy as an ox.
I believe it.
Yeah, when you're dropping $300 a week on dog food.
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah. We have Victor, and it's a 40-pound bag, $60, $70.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I could spend more money, but that's still pretty good. And look at his coat. Like, he is a very attentive dog. He's chill. He's 4 years old. He is a fantastic. I don't know if we're not supposed to spend this whole segment about my dog.
Okay.
Which I'm not angry about.
Yeah.
Anastasia, she does not allow me in the studio unless I
love
Bandit.
Him. Sometimes I open the door and Bandit's not with her, and I say, forget it. Go home.
Then she closes
There's
the door.
There's no point. Why are you here? Where is he?
That's funny. That's funny.
And he's just snoring over here.
Yeah, I mean, he's very chill.
Thank you. Very proud of him.
I'm sure he's dreaming about retrieving ducks and some honkers here pretty quick.
22 days, man. 22 days. But I want to get back to the State Fair real quick, because Anastasia pulled up the Sporkies and Drinkies. So I just learned about this. So if everyone else is learning about this, the Sporkies and Drinkies is a competition for food and beverages.
Do you know about? Do you know about this?
Yeah, I mean, we've dabbled a little bit in the past when I've done the fair. It's just pretty much the restaurants come up with some new creative item for the fair.
Oh.
I think there's a beer cheese filled pretzel or
How
something.
How did you
crazy.
Know what I was looking at? Are you looking?
No,
you see it over
no.
there?
No, I just know my food.
So first place Sporkies is the beer cheese Wisconsin lava cake from.
Wurst Bar.
Thank you.
Wurst down Bar. On Brady Street. They have phenomenal German food.
Do they? This is right up your alley.
Yeah, they're a big, they do a lot of brats at the Wurst Bar, obviously.
Oh my goodness. I'm speechless right now.
Yes. I didn't know so much. I do not know so much about the drinkies, but the Sporkies have been around for a while. And like, that's where they get the candied bacon. Like some,
bomb.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to do the first. I'm going to go through these real quick because I'm very excited about this. Even though this is a hunting and fishing show, but this is a Wisconsin. We're raised in Risco. This is a Wisconsin show. So Sporkies and Drinkies. So the first place Sporkies is beer cheese Wisconsin lava cake from Wurst Bar.
Wurst Bar, yeah.
Second place is the Porky from Camp Bar. This looks like a fancy sundae with, I don't know, graham crackers or whatever it is. It's a sundae and I'm an ice cream fiend. Like, I have a stomach, then I have an ice cream stomach. Like,
well, now, hold on.
Holding.
That's called the Porky. Are we sure that that's ice cream in there?
But there's cherries and sprinkles.
I got to do some research.
All right. Do your research, girl. I believe in you. You can do this.
Danielle, when you go, you just got to go get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this is all I'm going to... Oh, Lordy. A deep fried apple pie from Saz's Barbecue. Deep fried apple pie.
I mean, anything deep fried's good.
Deep fried apple pie.
Yeah.
Do I need to say more deep fried? Oh, my palms are sweating. I'm so hungry. And the first place Drinkies belongs to the Ferris Mule from the Old Fashioned Sipper Club.
Interesting.
You can, and it's, it has, I don't know, I think that's rosemary and blackberries and lime. I don't know what this is, but I'm
I wonder
very,
if any, how, what people think of them. All the different Sporkies, if people have been to the fair and tried them yet.
Oh, Anastasia, I found it.
Excellent.
The Porky. This Sunday is just a treat for you to enjoy while the pig races. Featuring vanilla custard layer and cheesecake bites and hot fudge. This Porky is topped with graham cracker crust, bacon bits, and more hot fudge, warm caramel, graham cracker cookie, and a cherry.
Dang.
But it wouldn't be complete without a piece of candied bacon dipped in chocolate sprinkles.
There's your bacon.
There it was.
Oh,
gosh, have that bacon.
I love the state fair. Yeah, I love Wisconsin so much. This is so exciting. This is very exciting. All right, let's get... Okay.
Yeah.
We need... Oh, how? What? What? I feel like you're lying to me, Anastasia. Oh, my Lanta.
We're having
fun. That was all state fair. I apologize, kind of, sort of, but get out there to state fair. This is going to be an exciting time. I'll be there tomorrow. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman, alongside Mike Kretschmer.
Keep feeding that monkey on my back. I can feel your hot air blowing in colder, stoking this fire up under my ass.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. It's hard to fathom. The island of Maui has lost 93 people to wildfires. Andrew Martin is the Maui City Attorney.
Our entire island has been devastated by this, but none more so than the individuals who are still looking for loved ones or know that they've already lost their loved ones.
Former President Trump taking part in an American tradition, campaigning at the Iowa State Fair.
I just feel so strongly about the farmers. You had somebody say, well, we don't really care about the farmers, meaning about the other side, and they don't care about the farmers. I don't even think they're coming here to campaign.
Damar Hamlin has played his first NFL game since suffering cardiac arrest during a game in January. The Buffalo Bills safety helped beat the Indianapolis Colts 23-19 in a preseason opener. Was he trying to prove something? Nope.
I don't feel like I have nothing to prove at all. I don't.
But in a way, you know, it's kind of like proving it to myself.
Hamlin was cleared to play by his doctors. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Thunder, heavy rain, thin line between joy and pain. It's a long, strange trip, it's all insane. You ain't never gonna be the same. Living life through the night, thin line of lightning strike.
I feel like I can't interrupt.
Sometimes
it.
The only light when the moon is tucked away.
Welcome back to Raise in Wisco. That last segment, we were all about the state fair, and I apologize, we're bringing it right back to hunting. Right back to hunting.
I don't know who does that. But.
Oh. I don't know where my... So I told you in the beginning, well, I have 50 topics.
Yeah.
But I talk about 2 or 3. Yeah,
you're right.
It's
you're
life.
Not wrong.
It is life. But you know what? There's always next week.
Mm-hmm.
You can always go to next week.
Every Thursday.
You can always come back.
I'm game anytime.
Perfect. All right. Hunting.
Yeah.
It is. August is almost over.
Yeah.
So 22 days till September 1st. That's when our early goose, our dove, and our teal start.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am pumped. I am jacked. I am ready.
Yeah. Wheat fields are getting cut like crazy. I've been seeing a lot of honkers in the different fields, and I just hope they don't get too weeded out before the hunting season starts and the birds are still hitting them.
I know. It's been, what, 2 or 3 weeks since the first field that I saw come down?
Yeah.
And last week I made the mistake of saying, once I start seeing the fields come down, that's when I start asking. And Joel just started laughing. And I was like, what? He's been asking since like spring. Yeah. I'm like, well.
He does the homework.
Yeah, my bad. I feel like insignificant. Wow, that was a hard word.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hunter, I'm like, huh. But
It is what it is.
To roll into that, I mean, it's hard. And it's gotten harder and harder to get permission.
Are you more of a public land hunter or a private? No, you say no right away to public. Why do you say no to public right away? We're just talking about waterfowl right now, not deer hunting. Waterfowl for public. Do you do it or no?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Yeah. I've hunted Horicon. I've hunted Rome.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You were talking about the Horicon with the youth. Hunt.
Yeah. So that is a... and for the next one, I will know a little bit more. But that's a great program for anybody that's... And it's not just for kids anymore. They open it up to adults. It's a first-time hunt program. I'm sure you can find it on the DNR's website.
Yeah.
But the kids sit through a class, or adults, first-time hunters sit through the class, and then they pick a time to go hunting. So, and I've done it for a couple of years now, and it's just awesome to see these kids learn, or adults learn how to do it. And and you're in either the state or the federally protected area of Horicon. What's better than that? I don't have a gun in my hand.
And
these programs are allowed through the system to hunt those areas. It's just a couple hours.
That's magnificent. Yeah. Like that's unheard of. Yeah. The bird population there is just booming. Yeah. Obviously, cause nobody can hunt it.
Right.
So it's perfect for new hunters.
You know, and it's not even the hunting aspect of it. It's the watching. And I always sign up for the morning sessions to guide the morning classes.
Yeah.
Because there's not a whole lot better out there than watching, like, the earth wake up. The wildlife wake up.
Isn't that the reason why us hunters probably started this?
Frogs, the birds, the frogs. We've seen deer. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything. Especially up there, you have birds you don't see anywhere else. The cranes and, you know, the sandhills and what's the egrets?
Egrets.
There's tons of them. Swans. I mean, everything is. And that marsh carries a lot of wildlife.
It is definitely beautiful. It's hunter's paradise, and it's also a photographer's paradise. It's a Wisconsin in general paradise. Like, you don't have to be a hunter to enjoy the Horicon. Yes, it's going to be fantastic for hunters to go out there for first-time hunters. Yep. Unbelievable. But to get out there and, like you said, wake up with the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's no better feeling. I don't understand why people sleep until 9, 10, 11 o'clock. Okay, I don't understand why you do it. Anastasia, you're pointing at you too.
Girl, I got up at 1 today. Are you kidding?
Oh, boy.
What?
I'm kidding.
What? I was like, dang.
I was going to reach through this window and just slap your face. 1 o'clock.
That's why the window's there.
I mean, when I was a kid, I would sleep until 11, 12 o'clock. Oh, but
yeah, my teenager, I'm like, get up, go mow the lawn, do something fun. But I've done so much in the last 25 years. Now it's like, I personally, as bad as it sounds, I don't get that excited to get out of bed in the morning anymore. I mean, it's kind of a whatever. But when I'm doing that event or taking my daughter or Brady or somebody new, that's like, I love seeing the excitement, the jacked up people that are like, jump out of bed and go. I'm like, all right, I'm excited for it.
I understand that.
So,
yep.
Like, so the older I get, I'm like, I don't mind going to sit in the tree at 3-4 o'clock instead of get up at 3-4 in the morning to go fish Lake Michigan for salmon. I mean, I do it all, and I've done it all, but little off topic, but we're getting into September, and I wanted to touch base a little bit about bow hunting.
Look at you bring it up right away.
Yeah,
good job.
I know.
It's like know already.
I just
want to
get this off my
goes.
Yeah. So back to wild public versus private.
Yep.
I hunt a lot of private local areas to Waukesha County.
Yeah.
And I would probably...
For deer, correct?
Deer.
Okay.
And some waterfall.
Okay.
It's getting harder and harder, as everybody knows, to get permission. And parcels of acres is getting smaller where they don't allow firearms as much anymore either. It's just a fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to start traveling more. But, I mean, that Dodge County, Washington, all the way up into, the Horicon Marsh. And that's only an hour. So there's plenty of opportunities to waterfall hunt, private and public.
Yep.
Knocking on the doors, being nice. I mean, some, you know, they used to do the blinds up in the marsh where you pay $20. So now, you're used to layout blinds, right?
Yes.
They do like box blinds up there.
Okay.
From when we were little, right? I was going with my dad. He'd go up. We'd get there at 3-4 in the morning. So we're getting off topic again, but go there 3-4 in the morning. And you would be in a lottery to get a blind. And then you pay per person to hunt the blind and wait for the birds to come off the marsh. Just literally a plywood box in the middle of a field. It's just...
That seems logical to me, though, because...
Yeah, back in the day, I mean, there were so many more geese that were using the marsh than now. It. Now, I was just reading something recently about, like, it's, like, way down on the wild goose population in the marsh. Goose populations are up, but they're not using the marshes more.
Do you think it has to do with the windmills popping up and ruining the migration trail?
That could be.
I feel that has a lot to do with the migration trails. Windmills. Because if you look at the bottom of a windmill, there's so many dead animals on the bottom because they keep flying into it. Because they're also really dumb. And two, they ruin the path of the migration. Okay, going off topic again.
Yeah.
Go back to your hunting.
Yeah, so that was... So there's plenty of still private land that you can waterfowl hunt,
mm-hmm.
and you don't need to be in those. At one time, I believe you had to be in those box blinds. slander me on social media or anything.
Or call us 844-967-2299.
Yeah, you can call in, let me know. But now you can pretty much hunt anywhere and just knock on doors. That's why I have kids.
Yeah, that definitely helps. As I said in last week's episode and episodes past, I am terrified. I love talking, aka radio show, all this kind of stuff, TV show, co-host mostly, but I'm a talker.
Right.
But when I ask for permission to use someone else's things that I have not worked for, it gets me. I'm terrified to do it.
Yeah.
Turkey hunting, not too bad. Deer hunting, surprisingly, a lot better at asking for permission on deer hunting fields than waterfowl. Whatever. Okay. Back to your hunting. Hunting season. What were you going to try to get?
Okay, we were talking so private land, small acres in even Milwaukee County. There's some tight little spots that you can hunt. So if everybody knows when Joel was into deep politics, and I don't know a lot of, but he's helped the outdoorsmen a lot with some of the stuff that he's passed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is you're allowed to bow hunt within so many feet of buildings with permission, and that opened a lot of doors for a lot of people to hunt small parcels.
Oh, yeah.
So I've killed some pretty big deer on very small acreage. And I call them subdivision deer for everybody out there in the hunting world. But, I've been very lucky. I mean, I put in my time. My dad says, I put in my time with trail cameras, but I also spend a fair amount of time in the woods.
Yeah.
And when I see a deer that I want to hunt,
that's it.
Waterfowling's out of the question. Musky fishing, I love doing that. It's out. If I see there's a deer, but the last couple of years, and this is where I was going with this conversation, is the first 2 weeks of the season, if you can pattern a big deer, you have to be sitting in a tree on that first cold front.
The first cold front.
And a cold front could be a 10 degree, 12 degree difference.
Yep.
But I've shot some pretty big animals on the first cold front. Got lucky. I knew he was in the area. Just the right temperature in the cold front and the right winds. And I waited for him. And I passed some really nice small deer knowing he was there. He came out after them. And so I've killed the most big deer, not during the rut, but the first 2 weeks of the season.
And I would love to say that I have, but I still have not killed even a four-pointer. Mostly doe and my tiny little, my 11 pointer. It's like just two little spikes sticking up that I made into keychains and earrings. Hey, that's how small it was.
You got to start somewhere. And did they eat good?
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, my big buck and my, or your big buck and my little buck, quote unquote buck, I'll take yours. Tastes the same.
Yeah. Oh, I think yours are better.
The
small. Oh, yeah. I would eat. I mean, when it comes to meat hunting personally, I'll shoot a younger deer any day of the week, but.
Not a fawn, though, right? If it has spots, you don't shoot it.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no. I mean, no.
I've heard a couple people do that. Yeah. I'm like, no, do not. Leave them alone.
Yeah. I've not shot in that small of a deer, but I've also I've seen people do it, and I harass them a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But
you would have to.
They're good friends, and, you know, it's like, oh, I need help dragging my deer, and they walk up, and I'm like, here, let me. Whoop,
yeah, let me grab it with my pinky. Yeah. I got this for you. Yeah. Calm down there, Popeye.
Here's the garbage can so it doesn't bleed everywhere.
See, in my head, where you were saying that once that big buck comes around and the first cold front's coming around, that you stop your waterfowl, you start your muskie. Mm-hmm. I feel as if people are only waterfowl hunters or deer hunters.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah, like you say you can mix, but you more or less deer hunting. deer hunter, I should say.
Yeah, but if I mean, I've shot probably three to four of my wall mounting deer that have been in the first 2 weeks, like we were talking about. So then I'm all waterfowl after
that. There you go. So, I mean, that works perfectly, yeah. But with me, it doesn't work like that because I can't get it. So I just, I mainly stick to waterfowl.
Yeah.
Like, and that's my thing.
If you love doing that,
mm-hmm.
I love doing it all.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. If you can do it all, do it all. Right. Why not?
But, you know, there's a thing, a four-letter word that starts with a W and ends with a K that gets in the way way too much. That word stuff.
I'm like, what?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the older I get, the more you got to pick and choose to what I want to do. And you the weather plays a factor.
It does, doesn't it?
I go to North Dakota. We can follow up a little later on a little waterfowl, but I go to North Dakota usually the first week of November. And any big archery deer hunter knows what the first week of November brings.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Rut. Right. They're like, are you feeling
you
okay?
You going now?
Yeah.
It's Halloween. Every single Halloween, I have a massive buck on camera.
Yep.
But when I first started, so I've only been hunting for about 10, 11 years, right? When I first started hunting and didn't really get into it and really understand the provider lifestyle, I would, you know, go out and have fun on Halloween. It's what everybody does.
Yep.
And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, my trail camera goes off. I'm like, oh, I made the wrong decision, didn't I? And I've never seen that. I'll never see that buck again. Never.
In, like I say, for hunting 25 years of bow hunting, I started out bow hunting before I went gun hunting. It was my mom's kind of rule to my dad that, you know, it's a little bit more intimate, closer, and can learn a little bit better and faster. I've been told if there's one day of the entire year, no matter the moon phase, weather, whatever else, October 31st is the day you want to hunt.
Sure is.
And I've shot in a couple bucks on Halloween, but most of them have been that first 2 weeks. But I live for that because I love telling those stories. Everybody's like, September and early October for killing big deer. I'm like, it's just what I do.
Yeah, it's what you do. And I remember on past episodes, people were talking about instead of just getting out there at the break of dawn, you get out there at like 10 to 3 or whatever it is. Yep. That makes it more tempting this year.
Yeah.
But we're running back to waterfowl in North Dakota. When we come back from our break, I could talk all day about North Dakota. I love North Dakota. Yeah. It is my favorite place to go. So when we get back from the break, we'll talk about North Dakota waterfowl hunting. And just remember, 22 days. We got this.
Yeah.
22 days. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK, The Shaw 101 FM.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information.
A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
When mama used my full name, I knew she meant business.
Oh, that's so true. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman, alongside Mike Kretschmer. I love that. I can see it correctly.
Yeah.
And would you know it, I talked about Joel and how we were missing him, and he was MIA. Joel remembered our phone number because I ask him all the time, so he finally remembered it to give us a call. Hi, Joel. How's it going?
Yeah,
Oh, we can't hear you, Joel. Where are you?
Keep talking, Joel.
Joel! We can't hear you, Joel. This is sad. Anastasia's shaking her head.
His volume's all the way up. Speak to us, Joel. I don't know. I'll leave him up if we are able to hear him, but you'll have to keep talking.
Chime in, Joel, if you can hear us. Oh, it says you're on air, so I don't know where you are. Go outside. Put your phone up in the air.
Maybe he's in the middle of the woods getting ready for season.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's at that farmer's house. Maybe he's at the SCI.
Yeah.
You know about the SCI.
Yeah.
They have a meeting, I believe, every month, once a month, or every third. I don't really know, but I know that's going on this Thursday.
Yeah.
At the Thunder Bay Grill.
Gotcha.
Fantastic place for brunch.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss Joel already. Yeah. Joel, are you on air? Can you there?
Should be back.
No, we can't hear you, Joel.
Joel, I don't think your connection's...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. We heard that.
Can you get...
No, we can't hear you, Joel.
Oh, man. I got a good...
I don't know what you're saying. I'm so sorry.
We'll talk to you next week, Joel.
Well, we heard his voice, so that just made everything better. We miss you, Joel. So before we went to break, we're talking about North Dakota.
Yes.
Going to talk about North Dakota, and I love that you have a smile on your face when I say
it.
North Dakota. So what speaks to you about North Dakota? What was your first trip, and why did you plan that first trip?
Actually, a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, actually owns a house out there.
Oh, really?
So, just a friend of a friend had it, and he bought it for dirt cheap, probably 15 years ago, maybe now.
Nice.
And it's not quite in the main fly zone, but we're a little west, and it's a lot of pheasants too. So it's a combination. So we'll waterfowl hunt the mornings, and then we drive around, do our fair share of scouting, and then pheasant hunt at the same time. So sometimes, sometimes we get a little off track and do more pheasant hunting, and then we don't know where we're going to hunt the next morning, but that's part of the whole trip. And
you're still providing, you're still harvesting an animal, you're still doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, pheasants, duck tastes very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I love pheasants.
Yeah.
Definitely love them.
They're great eating. And it's just, the license for pheasants is probably more or as much as the waterfowl for North Dakota. And so I got to make it, you know, you can hunt a game farm around here and it's fun and it's a great learning experience.
Yep.
They're like not even close to the same.
No, not even.
I mean, out there, you get out of your vehicle and you shut a door. There's pheasants leaving that are literally 200-300 yards away from you flying up and gone. So you got to be like, it's a stealth operation. I was like, when the first time they told me that, I was like, you guys are crazy. Shut the door.
Quiet.
I'm like, you're not joking.
Yep. See, with me, when Bill and I go, we don't stay in a house. We have an enclosed trailer.
Oh, nice.
So we have two cots in the back with all the decoys. Bandit has his little bed, but of course he sleeps with me.
Yeah.
So we just park it on a farmer's land that we obviously ask permission for. But then all of a sudden it just comes walking out.
there's a pheasant. Oh, there's another pheasant. Oh, here's another pheasant. So we just shoot. We just sit there. We cook our ducks that we harvest that day.
Yeah.
And then we just sit back and then pheasant hunt.
Yeah.
And then the great thing about, I don't know if it's a great thing, but one of the interesting facts about North Dakota is that you can shoot from the road.
Yes.
Like you don't have to be 10 feet off the curb or whatever it is. I should know this rule, but I don't because I go way in the field.
Yeah.
But you can just, their property line ends right at the intersection, right in the middle. Right. I'm like, oh, this is kind of neat. So yeah. I can just sit here and shoot that way. Because I always was kind of timid because I always see them across the road. I'm right. like, oh, all right, that works.
Think if it's any gravel road, you can shoot off of the road.
Yeah.
And then, you know, North Dakota is, they're catching up with the times, unfortunately. So, and I don't know if you know this, but now they can electronically post their land. Do you know
this? Yes. I'm going to get all heated. That pissed me off. Last year was my first year, and I believe it was their first year as well. They electronically posted it, and that just took away more than half of the fields.
Yeah.
Because, for one, they have either no phone number on there, or this is connected to someone in California. This is connected to someone over here. It's connected 3 hours away.
Correct.
So I have no way of contacting them because I'm not going to drive 3 hours. Their phone number does not match.
Correct.
But the year prior, we only have 3 minutes left. The year prior, you could just go knock on that door and bada bing, bada boom, you're right there.
Right.
Easy peasy. Everywhere. You could go everywhere. But now you can't because it's electronic.
You go to the local like watering hole. Hey, who is this? Boom. This guy. Okay. Yep. Knock on the door. You're done. Now, like you say, we're short on time, but it's gotten a lot harder. But we've gone to one of the same spots. So we're learning more and more every year. We're knowing more and more people, which is kind of helpful. But that is the downfall, but it's still great hunting.
My belief is that every waterfall hunter should experience North Dakota hunting. Because to me, it was the greatest. See, my first tornado, it was wonderful.
Oh, it's a whole nother level.
But to end this segment, I know we could talk about this nonstop, which we'll talk about next time you come on. Because it'll be closer to waterfall hunting.
Right.
I want to know, you talk about youth hunting and how your kids got into it and everything. What can you recommend for everybody? What can you tell them? What can you inspire them to do?
I would say, like, go out there with an open mind. Even as a parent, and you're not into the hunting aspect, but your child might be. So the big thing is, like, try to connect with somebody. If you know somebody, like, I have a lot of people on social media that don't hunt, but I share it. And anybody can reach out to anybody that, I mean, I've never heard of an outdoorsman say no to taking somebody new or somebody young.
Never.
That's the bottom line. And, you know, I've had people like, oh, wild game, like some of my even close friends. I've made venison tenderloins. I've made wild turkeys. And people are, you just got to keep an open mind on the provider food aspect. But also the camaraderie of teaching and learning and expanding your horizons as far as not everybody is the same.
Yep.
And you learn a different lifestyle. And when you get into this lifestyle, mind you, it's very expensive nowadays. But
you got to pay to play.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I agree with getting new hunters out there. It doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter the sex, doesn't matter everything. We are all the same out there. We're all out there for the same exact goal.
Correct.
It is to provide for our family, to enjoy our life, and just to have people to talk to, right?
Correct.
This is what we do out there. We harvest the animals. We talk to each other. Like at the turkey blind, you sit next to somebody and you're talking. It's a fantastic time. You build relationships. You bring the family together. It's
fun.
Absolutely fantastic, and I'm so happy that we live in Wisconsin so we can do this not necessarily year round, but
just about.
Yeah. We go from ice fishing to turkey hunting to fishing again and then to deer season, everything. We have it all here, and I'm so happy and I'm so thankful. And just like that, we're ready at the end of the show. We probably talk about 5 topics out of 50.
I gotta come back. It's been fun.
Oh, we appreciate having you. Thank you, Mike Kretschmer. I am Danielle Fairman. Joel called in, but we missed him. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. Have a great night.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay, then. Bye.
It's so hot. Wait.
Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.